You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hello and welcome along to the Premier League on NBC podcast. I'm Rebecca Lowe. Joining me today, Arlo White, Carl Martino, Robbie Earl, Lee Dixon, Brian Lasso, and Robbie Musto. And gentlemen, we have you! We actually kept holding off to record this podcast today until we had the official word from the Premier League. So whenever you're listening to this or watching this, in case you haven't heard, the Premier League is provisionally on its way back. I can read for you the details of the statement that has come out today. The Premier League shareholders have agreed to a new provisional restart date for the 2019-20 season of Wednesday, 17th of June, provided that all safety requirements are in place. Now, the 17th of June is a Wednesday, so I'm thinking, okay, what's happening on a Wednesday? Why are they not starting at a weekend? Well, you might remember that before everything got postponed, two games were in hand, if you like, because of the Carabao Cup final. One was Aston Villa, Sheffield United, and one was Manchester City against Arsenal. So they're going to take both of those games and play them on Wednesday, the 17th of June, followed then by a full match round beginning on Friday the 19th of June. And that means that when they go into that first weekend of games, everybody will have played the same number of games, which sounds sensible. Due to COVID-19, the statement continues, games will take place behind closed doors. We, of course, knew that. This is interesting. Premier League shareholders also approved a proposal that would see all 92 remaining matches, every single last one of them, broadcast live in the UK by the league's existing broadcast partners, which are Sky, BT, BBC and Amazon. Of course, we over in the United States already broadcast every single last one of them. The Premier League Chief Executive Richard Masters said that we, quote, have provisionally agreed to resume the Premier League, but the date cannot be confirmed until we have met all the safety requirements. Sadly, fans will not be able to attend the stadiums. I'm paraphrasing now. The Premier League and the clubs are proud to have incredibly passionate and loyal fans, which is why it's so important to make sure that all the fans at home can watch their team play. The planned kickoff times in the UK for live matches, I'm not going to go through, but let's basically just tell you that if you sit down on a Saturday morning, you won't be leaving your seat for the entire day. Let's say about 12 hours. Same for a Sunday. Oh, same for a Friday, probably a Monday, maybe a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as well. I think the maths has been done somewhere in the ether of NBC, and it's something along the lines, gentlemen, of 37 shows in 40 days. So, make sure you all get a rest between now and 3 weeks' time. I'm going to go around and just get your instant reaction, and I'm going to start with Kyle Martino. What do we think, Kmart? That's not good for an audio podcast.
Oh, those that are listening to this, I did a celebration of pumping my fist. I'm so excited for it to come back. I it's different for us because, or I guess maybe for me. I don't know how you guys feel about me, but I miss you guys. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to work. I'm looking forward to getting back to watching games. I think that they've been incredibly thoughtful about how to do this and are still thinking through how to do it. We know, because we've been on plenty of calls, that NBC Sports have been incredibly thoughtful about how they bring us all back to the workplace. So I'm so pumped. I'm excited.
Arlo, how are you feeling over there?
Just to echo what Kyle said, I mean, it's just so exciting. I thought when the Bundesliga returned and we all sat down and the world sat down and watched it somewhat, you know, with some trepidation, but it went off very, very well indeed. And I think that has focused a few minds in the Premier League. I'm very impressed with how they've managed to get on board together, and it appears unanimous. So that the fractured idea of self-interest a few weeks ago seems to have been talked around, which I think is very important. But the overriding feeling, and we'll wait to see whether we get to go to games or whatever it looks like, whether we pump in crowd noise or not, we will have to wait and see. But it's just nice to have decisions to make.
If it's a podcast, if you need the noise because people can't see what you're doing.
Yeah, mainly talking about the games. But it's exciting. And I think, you know, the basis of this decision, the players had to be on board. And when you see over 2,000 tests done, and it's not to say that this won't change, but 0.4% of those tests have been positive. It proves that the Premier League clubs individually have created as safe an environment as they possibly can do in this situation. That's given a lot of the players confidence. And once the players are on board, I think then you're kind of pushing at an open door. So look, fingers crossed. You know, I know that the fatality rates haven't been great in the UK over the last couple of days compared to the weekend. So we have to keep our eye on that as well. But in purely football terms, this is fantastic news, June the 17th onwards, and hopefully a great summer of Premier League soccer.
You mentioned the players there, Arlo. You're right. We talked a lot about a player like Troy Deeney a few weeks ago who didn't want to return to training, but now has said, look, I never said I didn't want to return full stop. It was just the beginning. I wasn't happy at the beginning of when everybody was coming back. And Troy Deeney, who's got worries himself, feels now that his questions have been answered by the Deputy Chief Medical Officer and by the Premier League as well. So as you say, great kudos to the Premier League to ensure that all questions have been answered. Robbie Musto, what's on your mind?
Well, just what you said, actually, it's so pleasing that the players, some of those had doubts, the questions they wanted answered, I'm assuming got answered. I think the Premier League, you just said it, Rebecca, you know, the Premier League have done a great job of assuring everybody and trying to bring people together. It's not been very easy. The only thing that I'm assuming that the neutral venues is out, because that wasn't in the announcement, was it, by the league? Is if I know,
not
I know
out.
we were progressing, it's still not, yeah, so we don't,
it's not out.
I mean, I hope that we're going to see teams play their home games in their home stadiums, but that's something, I guess, that we don't know for sure about. But listen, well, like everybody else.
There's a report, Robbie, in the Times about Liverpool possibly having to play their games, all of their games in neutral venues, because the police are concerned about fans gathering at a time when they might win the league. So that's not just a report in the Times. There's nothing has been mentioned, like you say, about the Premier League. Graham, you just piped in there. What do you know about that?
That's what he normally does.
Yeah, exactly.
Oops, a pipe.
I'll continue with my pipe. Yeah, exactly. No, there's definitely, you know, home and away fixtures for sure, but there's a group of games that they're concerned about. Not so much the Premier League, but you know, the police and the government. So there, it looks to me, from what I'm hearing, that there'll be a combination of home away and then some neutral games for some specific matches, but. Look, the situation as it's moved, I think all along the way there were naturally going to be hurdles, like there are in all parts of society when you're trying to get back to something that resembles a form of normality. And that will continue. And I think the phased approach was obviously clear. Premier League were able to follow the lead set by Germany and places like Spain as well that are ahead in terms of the getting games back played. So... I think they've, you know, as Arlo said, the fact that there were clubs that were reticent and concerned and maybe agenda-driven slightly, that's the key to actually getting this back on and back on to be completed, is making sure that there's no sort of individual agendas pursued going forwards, because inevitably there are still going to be plenty of hurdles that we have to overcome. But if it's structured in the right way and... there are mitigating circumstances, whether it be for individual players, depending on how they feel, or, you know, if there are some cases that suddenly appear, you know, I'm sure that scenario planning is being done and contingency made for certain unknown eventualities, as I'm sure we're going to see at some point. But great news, as the other guys have said, and I'm so excited to be thinking about getting back to watch football.
Sorry, Graham. Looking at the Bundesliga, the home field advantage that was appears no longer. Very few teams won their home games. So it's a really interesting dynamic going forward when we return.
Unless they decide to pipe sound into the stadium, because I'd imagine the home team gets to decide what that sounds like. It's taking a corner and someone hitting you with a coin, but yeah.
Just one thing to be a bit wary about is there was another report today, wasn't it? I think it was in the Daily Mail about injuries. The injury rate has been more than double they've seen so far. So that's something that I know the Premier League players have talked about needing more time. They've got a little bit more time from the June 12th date that was proposed a while ago. But that's something that clubs will be worried about, players will be worried about, is all the muscle injuries that we've seen in the Bundesliga in the first three match days.
five substitutes, right, will also apply to the Premier League during this time, do we think, Carlo?
Correct, yeah, but you're only allowed to make, there are three substitute windows during the game as normal, but you can also make a substitution at half time. So the theory being that you can't stop the game any more times than you could when there were three substitutes allowed.
Okay, got it. So that might help that a little bit, Robbie, but it'll be interesting to talk. I'm talking to Jurgen Klopp, fingers crossed, on Friday. It'll be interesting to find out his thoughts on that particular thing. And I'm sure when the managers start doing their press conferences, I'm sure some will feel strongly about that as well. And then anything they can to protect them. Lee, what do you think of everything that's happening today?
Yeah, I mean, it is exciting. I think there's always, as Graham was quite rightly pointing out, there's always a plan going to be put down about restarting at some point. It has to restart at some point. I think the protocol that they've been going through, the Premier League and the clubs, is absolutely going along as we thought. The fact that the date is on the 17th has been, you know, it's a provisional date. We can't forget that. And there is, you know, there is a lot, still a lot of hurdles to get over, but there is a set out plan, which is exciting. I think when we all go away in the summer, normally for our holidays and our break from the Premier League, there's kind of, well, we're quite pleased the season's over. It's been an exciting year, lots of work put in. Then you have a little bit of a break. And then certainly the lads who played, there was a real excitement building, you know, the last few weeks of your holiday, getting ready to come back to training, even though you know training's going to hurt, you're going to be, you know, maybe feel sick a little bit in the old days more than the new days. But, you know, there was definitely a level of excitement that you built up in yourself getting ready for the pre-season. And you know when it is, you know when pre-season starts, you know when the games start, you know your preparation for the pre-match, pre-season friendlies, you know how you're supposed to feel with three pre-season friendlies under your belt. So you've got a kind of library, a reference to go back to. These players at the moment now haven't got that, because this is, the date has never been really set and it's still a floating date. So, and they've only just started going back to contact training today. So, I think in the next couple of weeks, before we get to the kickoff time, there's still going to be a few things that crop up. You know, I'm still a bit unclear as to if a player goes, you know, after contact training, if a player shows positive, how that works. You know, they're saying you don't have to isolate the whole squad, which seems a bit, I don't know, it seems a bit weird to me, but they seem to know better than what I do. But I think the excitement is starting to build, believe it or not, in my chest, that there's going to be a start. And I'll be as excited as the rest of the lads when, you know, probably because I get to stand more than 2 feet away from Arlo, I can stand, you know, 20 feet away from him and not completely have to share the sweets with him.
I'll be bringing a 2 meter long stick with me, Lee, don't worry.
Robbie Earl, how are you feeling, my friend?
Just the excitement in your voice, Rebecca, is enough for me. I've got my calendar with 21 days and I'll start tomorrow ticking them off and we get back to what we all love to do. I think a couple of things stand out, Bex. It's the first time for me it feels like there's a united front, there's a unison between the clubs, the players, the managers, the league. Everybody seems to be going in the right direction for the first time. I think it was a big week in terms of the resuming to contact training that came in. We've seen the testing early this week again. I think it was four players from three clubs, or four people from three clubs. So the numbers have been low considering the 50 or 60 tests per team. I think we got a date, Rebecca, and as we all know, that might be slightly fluctuating depending on the virus, but we've got a June the 17th start date. We get two games there. We get seven weekends with the full matches, and hopefully we're going to get an end to the season where everybody's going to finish in the places they finish, and it'll be decided on the football pitch and not working out maths and calculus and what you have to work out. The other thing I think I've got to say, and it was a conversation I had yesterday with a friend of mine, I think it's so important for the rest of English football. There's so many clubs that, you know, I started my career at Port Vale. I know Lee was at Burnley, Musty was at Oxford. Those lower clubs are desperately waiting for that little bit of money that trickles through from the Premier League down that football pyramid. There are some football clubs that are right against it now, that are really struggling to keep their businesses going, to pay their players. And so by at least having this date, at least having this finish, that the broadcaster money will go into the pot, that the sponsor money will go into the pot, and that will trickle down the pyramid, is so important for so many clubs down there finding it difficult. So it's great news for those 20 teams in the Premier League, but it's great news for English football. Great news for us because we can get back working and get back annoying at each other. Mm.
Two angles. In a minute, I'll just talk about the fans' experience for the rest of the season. But just quickly, have any of you ever played a game behind closed doors?
Yes, every single game I ever played.
They were paying people to come in, weren't they, Arlo?
It's not like at Wimbledon many times.
What about the other lot? Any of you ever played behind closed doors?
Before tournaments, a lot of times, but you know, that was normal because fans weren't allowed to do it. I remember we played Argentina before the Under 20 World Cup and before the Confederation Cup play team. It feels like preseason a little bit. You know, there's a lot of things the guys were saying where this is going to. It's going to take a bit for us to remember this is the actual season and not preseason. And you know, one little factor of that I was just thinking about is a lot of times during the gear up for the season, players with high numbers on the back of their shirt but low ages get an opportunity. You know, I wonder if maybe we see a couple of young stars that haven't gotten a lot of time, and just it'll be interesting to see how it's different on the field than what we're used to watching Premier League.
And also, it'll take us a little bit of time. Who thinks that if you're Mo Salah and you're running out in a silent Anfield, do you think the players will be affected and in what way and how could they help combat that? You know what I mean? How can the players get up for stuff? How do you think they'll be muted at all from what you see from what you know?
It's interesting, Bex. Musty and I talked about this on our podcast last week because I said to him, you're captain at Middlesbrough, waiting at the Riverside Stadium, you're playing at home to Tottenham, you look across, you see the names. Well, as you run out, something's slightly missing, that sort of nervous energy, that kind of butterflies in your stomach, because that comes from the atmosphere, from the crowd, from the expectancy. It was interesting, we talked about some players, for argument's sake, may take it a little easier in terms of, you know, if somebody runs past you, you haven't got the crowd baiting you to follow that run, you know, you might just let him go and let somebody else pick him up. It might affect the way that some play. I think certainly for forward players who rely on that oohs and ahs and excitement of the fans, I think they get a buzz from playing there. There's the goal celebrations with the fans. I always think of someone like Ian Wright and Dick Oltobai. He used to love playing for it. He used to play for the fans as much as himself at times. He was a big part of the thing. Somebody like him, I would have thought, would have been affected by not having fans in the stadium.
Rob, wasn't it? We were talking about maybe wide players, wingers, creative players that might try more based on there's nobody going to give them a hard time, you know, 10 yards away from the stands if they try something and mess it up. So you might see, you know, just a little bit of unusual play for some of the players that you'd normally expect something. They might, because of the lack of pressure, they might try other things in the game.
I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing that's just cropped up for me is that, especially being a defender that was pretty regimented in the way that we used to play with our line, and so you can kind of work stuff out visually, where the position of the ball is, where the position of the attackers are, and also your defenders. With one little look, you've seen the picture a million times. You can kind of work out what's going to happen. But there's also a hearing thing going on as well. You could almost feel the crowd and hear the crowd when a player used to make a really good run, and that going back to what you said, Robbie, about wingers. Certain times I'd be looking across the pitch and my winger would be behind me here. And if you're playing it away from home and the home fans, and they see it happening and you're not quite, you can kind of sense and you can hear the fans start to go, oh, he's in here. You know, if you get 200 or 300 people all making the same sort of noise, whether they're shouting anything or not, you can sense it, and all of a sudden you have a little look over your shoulder. So that there's no doubt that the crowd affects playing professional football. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And so moving forward, I think there's going to be times where, as you said, Ulster, that players, I'm not saying they won't try, but there's certainly an element of, I mean, Graham will definitely back me up on that. He'd have loved it because all those Chelsea fans wouldn't have booed him when they named him on the team sheet.
Also, when a goalkeeper does something dodgy, the next time the ball comes in, the fans go, dodgy. He won't get any of that. So all that pressure and like the keepers won't get hammered from behind the goal. It's going to be, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, last thing on that, but it's what's fascinating is, and I don't know if Dicko, you were kind of alluding to this a little bit. In a weird way, it was the packed, loud stadiums that sometimes were the easiest to play in because it was kind of calming and numbing because it keeps all your senses firing and you don't hear your thoughts back in your head or have all of these kind of random things popping out of silence. And I also now, you know, I would struggle to pretend I can't hear my manager if there are no fans. You know, I definitely have to say, yeah, you're right. I can hear you. I think it's just going to be different. It's going to be different for everyone. And it's also like, it's like Pavlov's dog. I mean, you throw like crowd noise in a good or bad way, you will see a reflexive reaction that is a trained, hardwired muscle memory reaction of years of hearing these sounds.
Bex, what I think this is a massive opportunity for us, for the Premier League and for our sport, really, because particularly in America, there is a culture of people going to bars regardless of what time. Now, that's probably to watch the football. Some people do it because it's acceptable to have a pint of Guinness at 7:30 in the morning. But that option at the moment won't be available. So a lot of people who would ordinarily go with their supporters group to the local soccer bar are now going to be watching at home. And that means there will be more eyeballs individually and televisions in individual houses on what we're doing and on the Premier League. But also, if people in that household are walking past the TV and maybe thinking, oh, what's this? You don't usually watch this. You usually go to the bar. And maybe more and more people will sit down together and the people that are usually absent in the bar with their pals can start to educate everybody else in the household about how cool this league is, even though there's no crowd in there, but this is a sport and this team does this and this player does that. And maybe it's a way of spreading the gospel, not only of football, but of you know, our league more specifically. And hopefully we can, and the players and the games will be so good, regardless of the crowd situation, that we can attract some new fans.
It clearly depends on who runs the remote at home.
Mm.
But to add into that as well, I think I'm right in saying, other than NASCAR, and obviously there is some golf, it's going to be, I think I'm right in saying, the first team sport back on American television. And that is a big deal because, like you say, not only will people not be able to go to the bar but be at home, which can spread the word, but this country, like every country, is, you know, overflowing with sports fans, avid sports fans who, you know, right now would watch anything. And if they've never seen the Premier League and because they're so busy with their own sports that they love, this could be a real opportunity for them to, for the first time, take in a Premier League game for weeks, for a good few weeks before they can watch a sport that they're more used to watching. So like you say, I totally agree. It's a huge opportunity.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In the UK, guys, it's going to be, it appears to be every, like I said, every single game will be on television. Just give us a sense of, it, when you think about that in your mind, about all 92 games on TV, every single one that's never been done in the history of football in the UK, because let's not forget 3 o'clock games are not allowed on TV, plus a few others. What will that look like, do you think, guys, England, with this coming their way?
Well, shall I take this one, chaps? Like you say, but there's not been a league game in England, top flight league game in June since 1947. And you know, the weather here at the moment, Rebecca, is uncharacteristically incredible. The sun is shining every day, which just lends a bit more of a positive slant to what's going on in the world at the moment. So you won't have that cluster of 3 o'clock games. You know, League One isn't going to be playing, League Two isn't going to be playing. We're going to see what happens with the Championship and how they stagger their games if they're to come back. I think Friday night's going to be a big night for the Championship, and I think the Premier League are keen to leave that maybe free in the way that the NFL leaves Friday night for high school football. So we'll see how that develops. But it's just going to be a feast of football. It's going to remind me, because of the sun shining and the back-to-back nature of the game, it's going to remind me of a European Championship or a World Cup, where you sit, you get your breakfast or you get your beer or whatever time it's on, and you just plonk yourself on the sofa and you watch game after game after game after game. And it's going to be coming thick and fast on Saturdays and Sundays. So it will be odd that we don't have that 3 o'clock cluster of games, but it'll be strangely refreshing that we get to see every game over here.
I'm going to jump off the podcast, guys. I have to do the Richard Eisen show on NBCSN. So Arlo, if you could just take, you know, carry on with whichever direction you want to go to. And chaps, I will see you next week. And then I'm going to see you really, really, really soon as well. And like,
be online. Bye, see you, Bex.
See you.
Cheers, Bex. So, Graham, Lee, what do you make of you know, in England, the amount of games, 92 live games available for everybody? Are people going to lap up most of it, or are people going to watch it at the start and maybe tail off a little bit? How do you think that's going to go?
Well, I think there'll be lots of partners of football watches. We'll have mixed emotions about it, because obviously isolation's been quite a long time together with all these families together. Now all of a sudden everybody's going to be watching football. Not everybody, but the football watchers. But I think you're right about the getting an audience that is slightly different than we normally get. I think most people will be kind of, it'll be catching their eye. We'll probably be at most of them anyway, so we won't be watching too many of them. We'll be on the motorway travelling there. So it'd be interesting to see how many games we as commentators actually cram in. We know, like, the studio boys, they're doing every single one. Brilliant. So envy you.
Ribbage.
Well, you're contractually, you've still got 90 games left this year, apparently. So, you know, you're going to be busy. Pick the two you don't want to do.
That's an American file.
Is this an opportunity for the game of football in the United States via the Premier League? We saw the viewing figures that the Bundesliga got recently, you know, the biggest ever audience in the United States for a Bundesliga game. Is this an opportunity for the Premier League and for us to grow the sport?
It's a massive opportunity, and it feels in a weird way like 94 World Cup, where this is the greatest sports tournament on the planet came. And to Lee's point, you know, I think you find football by either inheriting it or being introduced to it. It's not an individual pursuit to seek this game out. You know, it very much is a network, and a global network that's taken time to grow here. In a country that has a lot of sports in its landscape and a lot of offerings, and 94 World Cup reached out into part of the culture that hadn't yet been introduced or fallen in love with or understood or been in such close proximity to such a great game. I don't want to trivialize at all the time we're in right now and the fight that people are going through, whether it be having been affected by COVID, was fearful that they will be affected by it. You can hold truths at the same time. And there are two strong beliefs I have, that I'm compassionate and responsible and cautious for those that we need to be that way for. And I'm optimistic, excited, and so ready for this amazing game to come back into our lives, because I do think you can introduce it again. And I think it's being done so in a way where the positive benefit we're going to see of people that didn't watch games before, or people that it's going to bring joy in their life when they need it right now, that positive impact now will not come as a zero-sum game with opportunity costs that are going to make us feel bad or make us not feel as positive as we do now about sport coming back. And so, you know, there's no better sport on the planet to lead the way to try and show how we can do this and bring joy back to people's lives. And so I can't wait to see what the positive impact is in terms of a game that I love so much that's changed my life, showing up in the life of someone that might not know it or have enjoyed it yet.
Yeah, well said. Let's just round things off then, chaps, because I guess when we get closer to the date, we can start thinking about where we left off. Robbie Earle, when you think about the storylines, and I have to, when I think about where the season ended, I have to remind myself.
Yeah.
Stated, I know that Liverpool are 25 points clear. I had to remind myself of where United are, where Spurs are, what's going on with the top four, what's going on at the bottom. What are the storylines that you're immediately looking forward to getting your teeth back into?
Well, obviously, Liverpool have to be the top storyline in, was it two more victories? And they won the first title in over 30 years. Manchester City playing that game on the Wednesday before, we'll see it. You know, if City were to lose that game, it brings it even closer. I think you're right in the point, although it's almost like every team that's playing a game, you almost need to be reminded what's gone on before, you know, what they still got left. Are they in the FA Cup? Some teams are still in Europe. Some teams are battling against relegation. Some are trying to get to Champions League. It's almost like every club's got a story. And just picking up on Kyle's point, I almost feel we've got a great opportunity. We've got a seven-week Premier League tournament, like a World Cup, like a European Championship. We've got 7 weeks where football's going to be the talk of everything. Social media is going to go crazy. You know, newspapers are going to have things to write about again. And we're going to enjoy this league. We'll have a five-week break. And if things go to plan, middle of September, we start again. So it's a massive opportunity. It's a massive window now over the summer. And I believe you're having a great summer at the moment in England. Probably going to rain every day from June and July onwards. You can probably guarantee that.
You guarantee it. Musty, what are you looking forward to the most?
We're enjoying good football, good weather, a unique time. And I think that's the most important thing, to get people back into football in such a considered way.
It's a good thing that Marlo, you and Nico and Graham are going to be in the same booth together, because obviously Wi-Fi is not a good idea to try to call games this way.
I think, Arlo, just like thinking about now the return and everything else, and of course we're all excited about it, and what me and Robbie have been doing on our Two Robbies podcast is kind of the state of the Premier League, if you like. And we've gone down the list of teams and kind of just gone through the squads and what they might do in the next window and how they might finish. So that's important to note. But I'm looking, and I think our last pod, Rob, wasn't it? We talked about, I'm interested, Arlo, in how the teams, what they've been doing. How have they been preparing? How much have their players been time off? How focused are they? How fit are they? You know, this is going to be a nice little window into some of the managers, some of the football clubs, and some of the procedures to get their teams ready for this restart. Now, we know in terms of storylines, the relegation part of it is huge, and it's very tight down there, and there's lots of, you know, big games that's going to happen. Are they mentally okay? Me and Rob, we talked about the teams that have been a little bit more cautious about the restart, maybe the Watford with the manager and a few of their players, a couple of others down there as well, with Brighton, stuff like that. Is their mentality going to be like, okay, forget everything else that we've said or whatever, we got to go full guns at it? Or are they going to be a little bit like, well, you know, we're not sure what he should have been back, feeling sorry for themselves? So the way that they've prepared and how fit they are, we could see differences where one team looks pretty fit and ready to go and sharp, energetic, and others that might look a little bit sloppy. And with what's left to go on the stage we're at, that could be critical of some of these teams.
And unlike the season normally starts, where it takes a while for storylines to have real significant relevance, I mean, the first two games, right? If it starts winning, they say it's going to start. I mean, Villa, you know, fighting for relegation, and Arsenal, you know, should they win a very difficult game, top four becomes really, really, I mean, yeah. right out of the gate, two really important games.
Yeah. Mm. That, Graham, if you were selling the league yourself for the remaining seven match rounds or eight match rounds, what would you say to people to look out for? What are you looking out for?
Well, I think it's more, it feels to me like it's the start of a separate competition. And if I was a coach or a player, I'd be trying to look at that. I'd be trying to think, right, we've got these amount of games left during this period. As Robbie Earl said, it's almost like a mini tournament. And I think every club has to approach it like that. You can't approach the season, the rest of the remainder of the season, like you did the everything that's gone before it, because it's such an alien environment. Teams and players are going to adapt differently to playing in behind closed doors. You know, players, I've always felt you need that tension of a crowd to get more out of you. So I think the intensity will definitely be down. So it's how clubs adapt to a new and unsettling environment. So I think all bets are off in one sense. And I'd be saying that, you know, that it would almost be don't write anybody off and don't assume anything based on what's happened before, because this is a new sort of almost a new tournament.
Mm. Okay, then, chaps, I think we'll leave it there. It's been a very positive day for Premier League fans across the United States. June 17th is the return date. I've got some big questions that need to be answered. Will Graham Lasseau have a haircut before we return? Will Kyle bring the earring onto set in his left ear? We're going to have to wait and see. All will be revealed on June the 17th. Beck's back in the chair, obviously, for the podcast next Wednesday. Thank you for joining us on the NBC Sports Soccer podcast. June the 17th, folks. Circle it in your diaries. The Premier League will return. Bye for now.
Again.
Provisionally. In brackets.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.